While you're turning there, we're going to go to Jeremiah 29 chapters. Start towards the beginning of the chapter. While you're turning, I'll pray. Your Heavenly Father, we count the privilege to come into your house. We really mean that, Lord. We hate the absence away, even if necessary. But we thank you for making it possible we can come together to encourage one another, to challenge one another, and to look into your word. I pray that you will enlighten our minds by your word this morning. Help me to speak those things that would be in line with your word. But by your spirit, help those to hear the message you have for them. Help us together that we might be a beacon of light and hope in a dark day. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 2020 is gone, and it was a disappointing year in a lot of ways. I started the year with a lot more hope than what I ended it. I mean, what I had anticipated the year was a little bit different. And then 2021 started with about as many disappointments as 2020. Amen? There's all kinds of things seem to come unhinged and coming apart at the seams. Discouragement, listen to me. Discouragement will be one of the biggest battles we face. Discouragement's going to be one of the biggest battles we face going forward, especially in the short term. Yet, at the same time, while we're battling that, it's absolutely vital that we work to expand the kingdom of God at such a time as this. It really is, and I don't want to belabor it, but I'd be happy to sit down and talk to anybody that wants to talk. It's really our nation's only hope. It's your family's only hope. It's our community's only hope. Amen? The direction, the expanding of the kingdom of God, God's influence on people and the way they think, the way they value, the way they live life, that's our hope. That's what's needed. Amen? And we need both encouragement and direction at the time we're in. And I am thankful that we have God's word to help us find that. Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 4 says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, live in them, plant gardens, eat the produce, take wives, have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons, give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there, do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you in exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams they dream, for it's a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I didn't send them, declares the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I'll visit you. And I'll fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you'll call on me and come and pray to me, and I'll hear you. And you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." This is an interesting time in Israel's history. And an interesting message that God sent through Jeremiah. As you know, God sent the captivity on the Israelites as judgment and had them carried off to Babylon. This is of God's doing. Now, the evil that Babylon did, God did not condone. In fact, he said, "I think they're good intentions and I'm going to deal with them." Okay? I mean, he told the prophets that he was going to allow them to come to carry them away into captivity for judgment. And the prophets complained, "Well, they're more evil than we are." And God said, "I know that. But they're going to accomplish this purpose. And then I'll deal with them." Amen? But God spoke to the Israelites after they had been taken captive. This is after they've been relocated, scattered about through the different provinces of Babylon. Scattered to become part of Babylon. He assured them that the judgment he had sent to them was actually for their good. Man, that's a hard thing for us to take in sometime when calamity happens, especially nationally or especially in the church. When calamity takes place, when evil prevails, sometimes it's hard for us to see that God might actually be behind this or allowed it for a purpose. Amen? But even in allowing this captivity to come, God assured them that he was still in control and that he still had their best interest at heart. He also let them know that he would determine the length of this captivity. Amen? That the evil wasn't actually in control. He had allowed it to happen, and then he had set the boundaries on it. And that's something we need to keep in mind. Amen? Nothing took God by surprise that's happened. Shouldn't have taken us by great surprise, because we've been hearing for years that if we don't straighten up, God's going to deal with us. Well, I believe this is part of what it looks like, God dealing with us. Amen? As a nation. But God gave him some instructions. You notice here that he told him in that intervening time between when they were carried away and when he is going to bring an end to that captivity, he told them to get on with their lives. Amen? He said, have families, get homes, make a living. Right? I mean, he said, get on with your lives. This is the condition. Life didn't come to a halt. They weren't just to sit down and wait. They were to get on with the normal activities of life. And they were to earnestly seek God. And I think that's where we're at today. Amen? God's in control. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be politically active. That doesn't mean you shouldn't exert your influence where you can. But it does mean when things become settled and inevitable that we accept God knew about it and God's still in control. Amen? We need to keep our perspective. This is going to be a hard one. When adversity comes, things don't go the way you think it ought to. When evil triumphs, one of the hard perspectives to keep is that God is still God. Amen? Nothing has taken him by surprise. Nothing's beyond his care and power. Nothing is adverse to his character. He says, Isaiah 46:9, remember the former things of old. For I'm God, there is no other. I'm God, there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purposes. Think about this. Before God ever created the world, before he ever put mankind on this planet, God knew everything that was going to happen until he called an end to it. Everything that was going to happen. God had a plan for every aspect of human failure. God had a plan for every aspect of human evil. God knew what he planned to accomplish in his creation, and he will accomplish everything he intended to. Amen? Now, does that mean God desires more? He may, in one sense. Because God, he said he's not willing that any should die, but all should come to repentance. We know that's not happening by other passages in his word, right? Yes. But ultimately, God, seeing what he could accomplish, planned it, and he will accomplish it. God spoke the world into existence. This world will end when God decides it's time for it to end. Amen? Nothing is thwarted God's plans for you or for this world. God's still working for our good, even in the midst of calamity or judgment. He says, I know, in the 29th chapter, 11th verse you read, he says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Even though he had sent them in captivity, even though they were suffering, I mean, that's suffering. What they went through was suffering. They lost everything and scattered around. They didn't just take them as a whole group and plant them someplace. They broke them up and scattered them all over in the different provinces of Babylon. Integrated them in back into society, different areas, strange places, strange things. Right?
Yes.
But he said, I know the plans I have for you to give you a future and a hope. What do you mean by that? Well, we know what he meant. That he was correcting their idolatry, and never again did Israel fall back into idolatry. Never again after this did they go back to idolatry. This did purge idolatry from among them. And even though he had allowed them to go into captivity, he was still working for their good. He still planned to give them a future and a hope. Amen? Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, it's real obvious that not everything's good. Amen? That passage never said everything in your life is going to be good. We know better than that. Evil things, bad things have happened. Evil things, bad things are happening. Evil things, bad things are likely to continue into the future. Amen? It doesn't mean God willed in an absolute sense everything that happened. Some of it His permissive will allowed. Amen? But that doesn't mean that God isn't in control. And it doesn't mean that He cannot turn it for our good. That's the confidence we need to maintain. In the meantime, we very well may be more suffering we're called to go through. That wouldn't be adverse to history. Amen? Of Christians. It wouldn't be adverse to God's care for us. It doesn't mean, though, that everything goes like we think it should. But what it does mean, God will be faithful. God's still God. His character remains the same. He still hates sin and judges sin. We forget that about God. God hates sin and its destructiveness, and He still judges it. He's warned us several times that He'll judge sinful nations. So in one sense, this shouldn't be surprising to us. Amen? One thing this has done, it's bubbled to the surface a whole lot of evil going on in our nation. And in some sense, I'm surprised God's been patient this long. Amen? What's going on is not a light thing. And I'm amazed at how many still claim the name of God in the midst of their wickedness. Just, if that, God's patient. That ought to show you God's patience and long-suffering. Amen? Because He is. He's merciful. He's kind. He's long-suffering. He's loving. God's fair, good, perfectly holy in everything. Everything He does is absolutely right, morally, ethically, in every way. Amen? God still loves us. He's still faithful to us. God's Word remains absolutely right and perfectly trustworthy in everything. Amen? And I wanted to start there because this is going to be probably our biggest battle. And let's keep our head on straight. Amen? With all the turmoil going on, with everything going on around us, our biggest battle is keep our head on straight. Keep our thinking correct. Amen? Challenge yourself daily to remind yourself that God's good, He's fair, He's just, He's holy, and He's still in charge. Nothing's taken Him by surprise. Didn't take me by surprise. I'm stunned. Well, I'm numb to being stunned, I think, with everything. Both on a personal level and on a national level. Man, every day is something new and not necessarily something good. Amen? There's lots of things going on. But in the midst of it, I also tell you, God has been faithful. God's been faithful. God has brought us through. Some have went through the battle, not around it. God's been faithful coming through. Some have managed that God took you around the battle. And whichever He did, we ought to be rejoicing because God's still good in the spite of it. Amen? So keep your perspective. And then make the most of the situation you find yourself in. Life hasn't come to an end. Amen? Life hasn't come to an end. It has been rearranged. It has been rearranged not for the good, in my opinion, but life still goes forward. So make the most of the situation you find yourself in. Amen? Because God's still God, we still have a hope for the future. He said, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent," notice whom I have sent, "into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." Here's His instruction to them. Build houses, live in them, plant gardens, eat the produce. Take wives, have sons and daughters. Take wives to your sons, give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you to exile. Pray God on its behalf, for its welfare. In its welfare, you'll find your welfare. And He said, don't let the prophets and your diviners deceive you. And a lot of them, if you'd read the whole context, saying, oh, this is going to be over in a day. Well, it wasn't going to be over in a day. It's current situation we find ourselves in, I don't know if it's short or long. I have no idea. And neither is anybody else, truthfully. Neither is anybody else. He assured them that he had good plans for them. And the same, they still had a hope for the future. Amen? The suffering calamity he had allowed, but at the same time, he assured them he had good plans for them. Good thoughts towards them. And they still had a hope for the future. So he instructed them, make the most of the situation. Where you've been carried off to, build houses, make a living, have families. Right? I mean, that's what he's saying. Get on with life. Trust God. Live your life. Don't despair. Don't lay it down. Don't think life's over. Don't think it's all come to an end. Bad things may be happening. Things may change. But God's still God. Make the best of the situation you find yourself in. Right? He also instructed them to pray for peace and welfare of the cities they were exiled into. Now, these are the people who came storming into their country, burned down the cities, carried them away into captivity. He said, pray for their welfare, because in doing so, your welfare is connected to theirs. Pray for your country. What happens nationally affects us. Amen? Pray for our country. Be careful of hate and bitterness getting into your heart. It's difficult not to be disgusted with the lies, the deceit, and dishonesty that's taking place in our nation, particularly in our media, schools, government. It's hard not to be absolutely disgusted with it. But beware of bitterness. It's the enemy of your soul. Let's take care that we don't dwell on it to such an extent that it consumes us. Don't dwell on it to the extent that we become bitter and hateful. Be wise. Know what's going on. But don't fill your mind with it all day. You know what's going to happen? You fill your mind with it all day, you're going to be bitter and angry and caught up in all kinds of hatred and bitterness that will eat you up. Amen? Here's the deal. What are you going to do if God don't intervene? I tell you, if God don't intervene, anything you do is going to be worthless.
Right.
Amen? So pray. Even pray for your enemies. Jesus said in Matthew 5th chapter, you've heard it been said, thou shalt love thy enemies and or love thy neighbor and hate thy enemies, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Pray. I don't mean you're going to have warm, fuzzy feelings. When it says love your enemies, it don't mean you have warm, fuzzy feelings about them and have an emotional attachment. It means you want what is best for them. And what's best for them is to be awakened to God and God's call. Pray that God would awaken those who can be awakened. Amen? There's a lot going on. Not everybody's evil in this country. Not even everybody on the other side of the political fence is evil. Amen? Lots of them are deceived. On both sides, actually.
Yeah.
Pray that God would change hearts and minds. Live your life with hope. Instruct your children and grandchildren in the things of God. Don't give up talking about it because of discouragement. Combat this evil age with the truth about God. Amen? Get on with your life. We don't know if this thing's a week or years. I believe it to be a beginning of judgment of God. It may be a while. In the midst of it, keep your faith that God knows what He's doing. Amen? Don't just look at His evil triumphing. Look at God has seen fit to allow some things to happen. Therefore, let's look to see what we can learn from it. Live your life in hope. Live your life like you know a good future is still ahead. That's hard. But I tell you what, purpose to do so. Purpose to trust God and live your life like a good future is yet ahead. Because if you know God, it is. Amen?
Amen.
Cultivate hope in your attitude. I know there's a lot of bitterness, a lot of anger, I feel it too. When you're hit with trauma, you either have fight or flight. My instinct's always been fight. That's not a good thing always, but that's always my instinct. I want to get in and to the fray and do something. Let's be careful. Cultivate hope in your attitude. Talk about hope to your family and friends. Talk about the hope of God's kingdom triumphing. Talk about the hope of seeing people changed by the power of the gospel. Talk about what the real solution is. And not just in the despairing sense that, oh, I wish people would see this, but in a hope that the God that created this world is still able to reach hearts and minds and souls. Read history. Read history revivals. Read dark days of how God was able to change a situation. Amen? Change people's hearts and minds. That's really what we need. We don't just need to get a gun and make people do what we want them to do. Although that's tempting. We need to pray God change people's hearts and minds. Because if God's dealing with us as a people, what's really in our heart is what God's going to deal with. So unless people's hearts and minds are changed, just dressing up the outside ain't going to do it. Amen? That's one thing this last year showed us. It's bubbled to the surface. A lot of hidden things. A lot of deceit. A lot of evil. A lot of wickedness. That's in people's hearts. Let's pray God that He would awaken people. But in the meantime, talk about hope when you're with your family. Talk about hope for the future when you're... You're not the only one that's suffering despair. You're not the only one that's disappointed. You're not the only one that the future looks dark to. Our kids are looking on at a whole lifetime without the experiences we've had. And they're in despair. I will be shocked if you don't see a rise in suicides in the coming years. You know why? Because people give up hope. It looks hopeless. Talk about hope. Your kids need to hear it. Your grandkids need to hear it. There is hope with God. Hope in this life, not just in the life to come. God's able to do what we need done. Amen? Amen. With God, there's always hope. Because He is God. He's caused the sun to stand still. He's called armies to run away in terror. He's called food to be made cheap and available in one day from a devastating famine. Amen? He's multiplied oil. Caused meal not to run out, oil not to run out. Read God's Word. Saturate yourself with God's Word. We've been challenged. Dad challenged us a couple of times to not just read a passage. Read God's Word. You got time at home. You got more time at home. You're not allowed to go some places. You're not allowed to do some things. That may get worse too. Well, take advantage of the extra time you got and read. Amen? Sit down and read a half hour. I don't have a TV, but I look at my phone. But I do know if you have a TV and you have a bigger screen, it's easier to look at it for more minutes in a day than what you would think. Sub out some of that for a real reading of God's Word. That's where you're going to find hope. You know why? You'll see the God that created this world. You'll see how He's intervened in time fast. You'll see the big picture, how God's still in control. And in seeing that, it'll help you have faith for your situation. It'll help you have faith for what's going on all around us right now. Amen? We find that God's worked in all kinds of situations when we read the Bible. He brought change where it seemed impossible. He protected in all kinds of situations. Amen? Listen to me. I'm going to challenge you. Don't become a dispenser of despair in this critical time. Hope is essential to faith. And faith is essential to seeing God move. Don't allow the circumstances to rob you of your hope and faith. Amen? Live life. Plan like there's a future. Amen? Talk about life like you know the God of the future. And then above all else, seek the Lord. He says, then you'll call on me and come and pray to me and I'll hear you. You'll seek me and find me. When? You seek me with all your heart. What we really need as a nation, as a church, as a society, is real revival. That's what's really needed. Real revival. A real acknowledging of God and a real turning to God. This happens individually. This is how revival happens. Revival ain't just a whole bunch of people doing something. Every transaction with God is individually in a revival. That we seek Him with our whole heart is the key to finding the help that we long for. Now, I may be wrong, but I discern some people who are drawing close to God in this situation, but I also discern a lot of people who are drawing away from God, and are particularly drawing back from the work of God in the situation we find ourselves. Seeking God with our whole heart really means being totally committed to Him. Amen? Live a holy life. Live a life that you know God can bless you. Don't give yourself liberty in things that are doubtful. Just hold yourself to a standard of living in God's presence. Be honest all the time. Be a witness in front of this dark world. Be fair, be kind, be considerate, be charitable. Do what's right all the time, everywhere. Amen? Live in the very presence of God. Live carefully before Him. This ain't the time to be given liberty ourselves. I see Christians taking up with stuff that is shameful. Embarrassment. Calling themselves Christians, the way they live their lives, the way they act. That's a problem. That ain't part of the solution. Don't go there. Amen? Don't go there. Don't give liberty to the flesh. By that I mean, don't start taking up things that please us because we like doing or want to be cool or want to enjoy something without a regard to God and how it affects God's influence in the kingdom of God. Amen?
Yes.
Seeking God with our whole heart means being in harmony with His purposes and His plans. What's God's plan for the world? What's God's plan for this world, ultimately? To save as many as He can, right? To bring to Himself as many as He can. Seeking God with our whole heart, you're not seeking Him with your whole heart if we can't say we're in harmony with these purposes and plans. The work of God is vital to seeing our nation change in the way it needs to change. And God works through His people collectively. We're a body. No one has all the gifts individually. It's only as we function collectively as a body that we're effective in advancing the kingdom of God. Amen? The work of the church is more important than ever right now. And I know we've been hindered in meeting. I know we've been hindered by a lot of things. But I tell you what, the work of the church is still more important. Nothing, listen to me, if you don't get anything else, listen to this. Nothing will affect our future more than the success of the kingdom of God. Ain't nothing, no election, no individual in government, no court system, no law, nothing will affect our future more than the success of the kingdom of God or the lack of success of the kingdom of God. That's going to have more bearing on your future, your kids' future, and your grandchildren's future than anything else. Now, I haven't got it all figured out. I suspect the work of the church and the work of the kingdom likely is going to be different going forward than what it has been in the past. And I can't tell you what all that looks like. But I feel a shift coming. I see it in people's attitudes and society. That may look different going forward. And I don't fully know what that means. But it means keep our hearts open. Amen? And to keep our hearts fully engaged if we expect the move from God to include us. Amen? Then you'll call on me and come and pray to me and I'll hear you. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Pray for our nation. We are in dire straits. The very foundations of our nation are being shaken. The very confidence in how we select leaders, how they govern, what people do. The whole thing's a mess. Amen? And don't know who to... Well, I know some who not to believe, but we got a lot going on. Our sources of information, our media, our education system largely is corrupt. And deceitful, dishonest. Pray for your nation. Pray for your community. Pray for your family and friends. Man, we have much to pray about. You just heard a few of the requests brought forth this morning. And I know a lot more that shouldn't be spoken out in public that's in the congregation. Pray. If you don't know the need, pray for me, brother and sister, anyhow. Amen? Pray earnestly. Get serious about seeking God for the answers that we need. Pray for your family and friends. What they need is God. I know they have a lot of other needs. But what they really need is God. Because apart from God, having all the other needs met don't mean nothing anyhow. Amen? And if they know God, they're going to get through it anyhow. They're going to survive and get through whatever difficulties they find. Be a beacon of hope and faith in this dark world. That's a big challenge, isn't it? Be a beacon of hope and faith. In this dark world, there ain't very many people that are talking good about the future, talking good about the work of God, talking about faith and what God can do. And that don't mean shut your eyes to going on and pretend it's good. It ain't good. Amen? Get your eyes open, know what's going on. It ain't good. But look beyond that and see a God that's able to bring good in the future from everything that's going on. And we don't have to know how. Amen? Because we know God. So I don't know, I have to know how he's going to work this or what it's even going to look like. What I do need to know is that our God is faithful. Amen? Amen. Be a beacon of hope and faith in this dark world. Cultivate your faith and hope in God's word. You won't be able to talk it if you really don't believe it. Amen? You won't be able to fake it very long if you really don't believe it. Well, how do you really believe it? Get into God's word, get it implanted in your heart and mind until you're fully convinced who God is, what he is, and how he operates. Amen? There is no substitute. Church won't substitute for it. Nothing else will. There's no substitute for filling your mind with God's word. It is the foundation of our faith. It is the strength of our hope. Without it, don't be surprised. If you're not reading God's word, don't be surprised your faith and hope is weak. It's just like, I didn't eat for several days. And I got weak. I ended up having to go to the hospital and then pump a couple of bags of fluid in me and try to get me standing up again. Because I didn't eat. Well, the same happened to you spiritually if you don't eat. If you just come to church, you're just getting a survival ration. That's all you're getting. It barely you can't be really healthy the way you need to without getting into God's word. Amen? Plan your life. Continue to make plans. Like you know, there's a future and a hope. Now, that doesn't mean go out and spend all your money willy-nilly. There's times we've got to be a little smart, too, in planning. You know, when times are difficult, you're more cautious than when times aren't difficult, right? But don't quit living. Don't quit planning. Don't quit thinking that there's a future out there, because our God still owns the future. Amen? Engage yourself fully in the work of God. I want this challenge out there. There are some who are not here that should be here today. Now, there's some who cannot safely be here, and they should not be here. They're exactly where they should be on the Zoom call. But I suspect some that could and should may not even be on either. That frightens me for them, not for me, for them. Determined to be part of the body of Christ that God can work through to bring about increase in his kingdom. Don't expect somebody else to do all the heavy lifting and you receive the benefits. Amen? We're in a crucial time. God sees, God knows. But I wanted to encourage you some. I don't know if I did or not. But I wanted to encourage you some. Don't quit living. Bad things will happen. I don't have to see God swoop in and slay all the enemies to have confidence that God's still in control and God's still working what he knows is best. Because he's allowed it, at least temporarily, what we are suffering, God has seen, is best. I don't know if it's for punishment. I don't know if it's for awakening. I don't know what it's for altogether. But I have to know that a God that's still in control still is concerned about what's going on. Amen. There's still millions of people in the U.S. who know God, who trust God. I honestly believe that, millions of people. And God ain't going to forsake them. I mean, Abraham, was it Abraham that prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah? Yes. And he said, if there's 20 righteous people, you wouldn't destroy. And God said, no, I wouldn't. Amen?
Yeah.
10. No. We have hope. Not everybody's abandoned God. Everything's not lost. But everything's not well. We need awakened. God's people need awakened. Amen? Shake ourselves, get out of the pity party, and get up and say, okay, God, look at me. What do I need to do? Where do I need to shape up? Take care of that. Everybody take care of that. You'd be surprised how we can get a different perspective. Amen? And then let the Word of God increase your hope for the future. Amen? Know that God's in control. Bad things may still happen. Worse things may happen. That doesn't mean God isn't ultimately in control. It doesn't mean just because we got a rough patch doesn't mean the road don't get better somewhere down the road. Amen? Continue to trust God. I want to challenge us. Don't withdraw. Don't let yourself get ate up with bitterness and hate for the evil people that's perpetrating some things. Amen? Judge what is right and what is best to advance the kingdom of God first. Political agenda second. Amen? What's best when we judge actions? First judgment is, what's best for the kingdom of God? Amen? You can be politically active and still do what's best for the kingdom of God. But first priority is what's best for the kingdom of God. Amen? May God bless you. Let's stand and be dismissed in a verse of song.